Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
There are moments in time we wish we could travel back to. Memories, pieces of life better lived in reverse. In those moments, tragic endings might rewind into joyful beginnings. Moments of loss into those of gains. I remember now, in a cloudy moment of extreme melancholy, my mother hung herself here in this place. And for all I've lived, all I've seen and done, I suppose this is the moment I've kept myself from remembering. This moment I'm so powerless to reverse.
Star Trek!
All right.
William...
Alternate timeline.
William Riker! He's my number one dad! He's my number one dad! William Riker!
Was that imaginary
kid? It was Rascals, yes. Rascals was the episode where...
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Picard, Guinan, Ensign Roe... And Keiko.
Was when he was like, look, number one.
Yes. My number one dad. He's my number one dad.
Why is everyone looking at me like that?
When were you thinking of, Jesse?
When there was that episode where like Riker's having a weird hallucination. And he has that kid.
Yeah.
Elliot? Son.
No, Elliot is... Why would you say that? Elliot is Troy's son.
Oh, right. That's right.
Riker's strange alien kid.
I knew
with
that.
The whole Romulan business and the future.
I just wanted to say...
But the kid that plays... The kid that plays young Picard on the Picard show all has, like, that funny sort of Picard voice where he's like, lol, lol.
He's like, Maman! Maman! Isn't that mean...
Mamar? Mamar?
No, I think in Spanish, Maman means, like, sucker or something like that. Someone who
in one, Spanish.
What is
in Spanish? What about
culebra,
French?
And one who sucks. One who sucks.
One who sucks.
Culebra. It either means snake or cobra. I don't know which, but it means.
All right.
I'm gonna go with cobra.
Can we at least get to the podcast application?
All right.
I was trying to get there.
We're required by law.
I started talking about Picard.
The FCC requires
in the bylaws. In the bylaws, by law.
My number one dad.
Okay. All right. It's Got Star Trek is the podcast.
We're talking about Picard.
That we're doing. It is episode 129 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
129.
And we are discussing Star Trek Picard season 2, episode 9. Whoa. Do you know what that makes this episode?
69, dude.
No, it makes it the
How does it make it?
It makes it the penultimate episode.
Oh, penultimate.
Penultimate.
Because there's only one more.
I keep forgetting that word, penultimate, and every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that word. I like that word.
I had a professor that used that.
It's a weird word to have.
Talking about the penultimate measure of the piece.
Was he all about that?
What was great about the penultimate?
Is it that moment right before the release of ultimate measure?
It's probably right when you get a bunch of chaos. At the end
it's,
of the piece.
It's a strange word. It's a strange
dominant pedal point or some
concept
shit.
To have a word for, but I don't know. There's probably some really good reason for it that involves Latin or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right.
One of them languages.
All right. Okay. So now that we've done the podcast identification, Dan, we can return
to the FCC.
We can do the previously scheduled.
Identify Dan.
We have to identify our podcast at the top of the hour as per FCC.
Should we
rules.
Identify our names?
Yes.
Are we following FCC rules?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right.
We
assiduously follow the many FCC the rules
guys.
The FCC has promulgated for the internet. Yeah, I'm Patrick. That's Dan. And that's Jesse. I'm pointing at
allegedly.
Them. So you can.
And this is my number one dad.
I mean, it's childish, but I can't get enough of it.
I put my hand out as if like someone was going to see that.
It's childish in both both senses of the term.
Not churlish.
Is it's not churlish. No.
Churlish.
Now, if you kept doing it, and Jesse and I were getting aggravated, it may morph into a churlish.
A churlishness.
Action. Churlish. But right now, churlish it's whimsically childish.
Churlish so, to the max. Episode 129.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa, season two.
Yeah.
Wait, season two, episode nine. Yeah, but also episode 129.
Yeah, we've discussed.
Oh, we already did that?
Well, we didn't point out the fact,
69,
the very uninteresting, banal fact that currently in this part of the season, the episode numbers are matching up well with our podcast.
Actually,
numbers.
Throughout the entire
episode eight, no, not the entire, because Picard, and remember when we did two episodes a week because Picard and Discovery were
fucked
overlapping.
It fucking Paramount Plus,
but
fucked
it also aligned it.
It allowed it for this moment right here.
Except it depends. You know, 129 is not the same as 9.
Paramount minus.
I'm sorry. Damn, bro. That's pretty harsh, man.
Paramount neutral.
Paramount neutral.
All right.
Okay. So there's only one more Picard and...
One more Picard.
At the same time, there's a...
I believe, yes.
A whole new show.
A whole new television
program. Why do they keep doing this?
Strange new worlds.
I knew it was coming.
Why do they keep doing this?
I'm not a fan of this.
Why does the world do things to me?
Don't they know we're trying to do a podcast here?
Yeah, first of all, that's point number one for Star Trek fan art,
number one and number
official
two.
Art for Star Trek creators.
Fan art.
Ancillary creators. Ancillary, ancillary, whatever your preference.
Aluminium.
It's complicated. It's I love having all this Star Trek. It's like all this extra work. However, even just from an audience perspective, now that we've gone through it with Discovery and Picard, and soon it's going to be Picard and Strange New Worlds, I wish they would give the finale of the previous show some breathing room before the premiere of the next one.
Let us bake on.
Then you gotta
watch,
like,
simmer in it for a bit.
Yeah, really.
I was gonna say bake on it. That doesn't make sense. Simmer. That's why they say simmer, because baking
is
on
a
it
better word.
Baking on it makes no fucking sense.
That means you're gonna like.
It means you're gonna die.
Smoke weed or something.
Yeah, you're gonna bake get, on it. Well, yeah.
Get baked.
Get baked.
I'm gonna bake
I'm
on
gonna
it.
Bake
I don't know.
On
you know, ever now that you mentioned it, I can't think of a reason why baking on it wouldn't be fine.
Well,
you're
simmer
still developing in the heat and fluffing up. And
but I think when you bake,
developing some glutinous structure, perhaps.
I think while that is correct, I think the implication for baking is that it gets hotter and hotter. Whereas simmering, you're just kind of like chilling.
Baking
there.
Does not get hotter and hotter.
You're chilling while you're simmering.
Baking, you baking set the you set the oven at a temperature. You put a water pan in there. If you're baking bread, I should
well,
say.
Well, of course it does. I know you don't change the temperature.
I don't know what happens if you're baking
but
ziti.
If you're baking,
you're making some baked ziti.
The point is if you're baking, you're always getting hotter or getting or same heatness or
hotter.
Getting to a
I get what you're saying. So in other words, you preheat the oven, you put in something that's cool or at room temperature,
and it warms up.
And it warms up. Whereas simmering, the implication is that something is already
the
at the simmering. Simmering is just continuing. Yeah, secrets in the sauce, fried green tomatoes. One of these days,
man, we're doing
you
this
motherfuckers
again.
Are going to do a fun
you're
podcast
talking about simmering
with me
the sauce, man.
About
I think
fried green tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes is fine. I don't know why you have your bug up your ass about it, though.
I don't have a bug up my ass.
I mean, it's good, but you just like you think it's the greatest.
When was the last time
you
saw
think it's
fried
the best
green tomatoes?
You think fried green tomatoes are the best thing since sliced bread?
Okay, I want to do two podcasts. One on the movie Fried Green Tomatoes,
and one where we make fried.
And
green
one where
tomatoes.
We make fried green tomatoes. And maybe we should
and
read
we
the book. Maybe we could do a book
little
club.
Sandwiches.
I had a fried green tomato once. It was good. There was that.
I
Simpsons,
do enjoy fried.
There
green
was a
tomatoes.
Simpsons
great,
quote
yeah.
about like my favorite book.
Jula.
She said my favorite book, food, and movie were all fried green tomatoes or something. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't read the book.
Considered Apu,
but yeah, I am a fan and supporter of the movie of the.
Speaking
film.
Of books, have you ever read Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I have the book. I haven't read it yet.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. So
I did that so we would remind ourselves how off topic we've become.
well done, Dan.
Well done, Dan.
Well done. Yeah. You've served your purpose. You can.
I can go
you
now.
You can go now.
He
Jesse
is,
and
you
I will
are the podcast referee.
Take care of the rest.
Okay.
Star Trek Picard.
He's walking away.
What did you think of this penultimate episode? So I wanted to. Okay. Dan's left. No, he's back. He's opening.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, why did you make so much noise walking around?
And why, why didn't you open the door? Why did you only open the rusty gate in the yard?
I always wanted to go pet that.
I think we need to develop some new terms as we're discussing Star Trek, because we are media people, ostensibly. We need to influence the culture. I think Dan has already done a good job influencing the culture with his coining of the phrase BQ.
And more recently,
BQ Roddy.
BQ Roddy.
BQ Roddy, which is a nice variation.
Yeah. I feel stronger about BQ Roddy because it's like Scar Joe. No, not Scar Joe, because that's one person. It's like Afleka Lopez, or what is it? Lowfleck?
Yes, it's a person.
Bennifer. Bennifer.
No, it was Lowfleck.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
It's a personamento.
All right. Personamento. So I think what we will attempt to coin this week is a rubric. A
Stanley rubric?
Stanley rubric.
structure.
I had the same thought.
A structure for discussing this episode, or any episode. I think this could apply to any Star Trek episode. And the structure that I've developed is called Silly or Billy.
Now, oh man!
So you can mention if you think something's silly, or you know right. a little bit but out there, Billy. Then you classify it as silly. If it's cool and interesting, Billy. You classify it as Billy.
Okay,
right?
Billy.
So right. for example,
wouldn't it be Bill. Right.
So if we're we'll workshop it more. Let's start now. Try it out, and then we can workshop it afterwards.
Willie.
So for example, which scene would you want to talk about and apply the silly or Billy rubric to?
The fact that the La Serena zoom was the superest one yet in this episode.
I thought when the episode started, because I remember you mentioned that last week, that you're like, every time they showed the La Serena, it's the zoom shot.
Like throughout the whole fucking thing.
There was a little more to it. Each time there's a little more to it.
Yeah,
like this
different
time,
angles
like
and stuff.
Like,
and
yeah this was like wait a minute, what are they doing? Oh, it's that ship again.
Yeah, I want to do side-by-side comparison with that in the first time.
In my book, that's a Billy.
That's a Billy. I'll go, yeah, I'm pretty Billy with that.
How about, and this might be a tricky one, how about people shooting at a hologram of Elnor?
Yeah, what was up with that?
The reason why I say this is complicated is from my own perspective. The hologram of Elnor going around kicking ass makes sense to me. That's awesome. That's Billy.
Yeah,
the people shooting back at it as a way to defeat the hologram. I found that a little silly.
Well, how? Whoa,
that was a straight up silly.
It's depending
Billy.
On the perspective,
that was
you're
a proper
using.
Silly Billy because it was a little of both.
Right, depending on which way you're looking, it's something different. Now I forget they did get rid of. Oh, she used her tentacle thing. BQ Roddy
she disrupted
his emitter. So she was able to
hollow his portable emitter.
So I guess now did we didn't even see any lasers hit him, so we don't know if that would work because
I don't think it
worked. Well, they weren't even shooting lasers, they were shooting bullets.
Oh yeah, bullets.
21st century
conventional
bullets.
2024, right. Probably
or
right.
Yeah, M16s. And
yeah, I mean, it is weird though because if you can beat someone up with a holographic sword, then why couldn't the reverse? No, because why?
The hologram is technology.
Yeah, those guys were.
Yeah, yeah,
you would want to disrupt the emitter. Like if they were all aiming for his portable emitter.
No, that makes sense because it's not like. It's a hologram, so the hologram can be made solid enough to hurt you. But if you chop a hologram in half, it can just reform itself if it wanted to. Like if you took a giant axe and like, what would happen if you took a giant guillotine, and chopped off a hologram's arm? Would it just like go and flip away and then just reappear back in the emitter? You know what I mean?
Know what I mean?
What would happen if you chopped off the arm with the emitter on it at the shoulder so the emitter part fell off? The whole body would just disappear.
But
the
emitter
the
part
arm
doesn't have to because that's not how the physics of holograms work.
What if you cut off your nose
on the program.
Despite your face?
If you're playing a program in which the hologram character is designed to be a combatant in a fight, then it may respond in the ways you describe. But a hologram designed for self-defense presumably would not build in weaknesses into its program. Like, well, if they hit me with the axe, then I'm done for.
Well, okay, but I'm saying, how would it reform? Would it just stop the axe, or would the arm fall off and then reform itself?
I choose an alternative, which is it would just go through like going through a projected
like light
anything. You know, it would just.
But how would the
we've seen that on Star Trek plenty of times.
Robert Picardo.
Robert Picardo. Did anything like this ever happen to Robert Picardo?
Every day.
He's a fucking homie.
And sometimes it happened to his character, the Doctor.
Look, if you did a sword through the arm, then yes, it would just kind of stay there in place. But if you did a guillotine where there was a big blade in between the shoulder and the body.
But how are you going to hold him in the guillotine? The guillotine's a machine. You got to hold the person in place.
Because, I don't know, because you break
the... I know you're talking about hypotheticals, but we're deep into the hypothetical universe.
You plant a virus in the hollow emitter. Like they did in Independence Day. You plant a virus.
but not like they did in Star Trek Iborg?
No, not like that.
Not like that, but like the Independence Day version.
That would have been interesting. Yeah, they do that and decide whether or not they assassinate all the Borg leaders or whatever. No, it's nothing
like
that.
See, that's silly.
That is silly.
That's not Billy.
Okay, so what if you planted a virus? I'm going to stop using that. What if you just made it so that the hollow emitter
what you're trying to say is, what if you programmed absurd limitations into your self-defense program?
Yeah, I can't remember what your argument was. How would you hold them in place? Like, for some reason,
it's just a picture.
If you made a synthetic bodyguard that had a bunch of weaknesses.
Okay, if you held the hollow emitter in place and put their arm through a guillotine.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to grab you by the emitter.
Okay, that's silly Billy.
Okay, regardless of the outcome. Anyway. Regardless of the outcome, yeah, okay, fine. It is pretty silly.
Mainly demonstrating the utility or potential utility of the silly Billy mode of cinema critique.
That would have been funny though if I did use this as an opportunity to insert the Iborg reference into this episode.
I thought you were, and I thought you were conspicuously not mentioning it because you've been mentioning it so much this entire season.
Well, you know,
I thought this week you were like, oh, it's the penultimate episode of Star Trek Picard season 2. I'm going to pull a twist and mention Independence Day instead of Iborg.
Penultimate now, yeah, twist.
For new listeners, which by the way, what's wrong with you? Don't be a new listener on episode 9.
Yeah, you might as well turn it off now.
But if you are, we do, while we might be confused by it, but if you are such a person, we do welcome you. Infinite diversity and infinite combinations and all that. But if you're a new listener, this has been a bugaboo of Dan's, is that he, since the first episode of Picard, I think maybe the first episode, you've been thinking that this is going to somehow center on Captain Picard nearly committing genocide against the Borg in TNG's Iborg
and the fact
with
that
a virus.
Right, and the whole
he is the Borg Slayer,
and the whole reason that everything changes, like he would have gone in another direction had there been a difference in the timeline, and that would have retroactively caused the past to become the future at that point. It was the future. Yeah, so what it was is the future of the Confederacy. What it was is,
you mean our future or Picard's?
And Picard's
future? No, it was Picard's present
at the beginning when the Picard went to the Confederation.
It was our future, but Picard's alternate present.
Yeah, so right, so that Confederation
alternate present. You know, like when you go to an office gift exchange,
yes,
somebody has already given out
a
copy of the Lord of the Rings.
That's
so you're
so
like,
funny.
Oh, I can't give the Lord of the Rings because somebody else has given the Lord
I know,
of the Rings.
It's so funny.
So you have the backup gift.
It's so funny,
which is like a mug.
It's really funny.
It says world's most hilarious colleague.
Yes, I agree.
You know that mug you can get
the
B. Dalton?
There's no hilarious.
The Confederate B. Dalton.
What's wrong with that? Why are you looking at me like that?
When was the last time that anybody was able to shop at a B.
Dalton? Oh my gosh. I don't know. I
was going to try to say that the Confederation was a direct result of Picard. What if he had taken the other choice and decided in Iborg
to commit genocide.
Well, you see,
genocide
happened in that timeline was because he's like the Borg Slayer, so he probably actually did that.
Yeah, right. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Jesse agrees with me.
All right. Let it be known.
All right. Well,
that would have been super clever, though, had I done what you suggested. But what I was really doing is trying to trick you into suggesting that. So I actually won because now you're suggesting it, too.
Yeah. So, did you trick me?
So I spread it like I assimilated you. Resistance is futile.
Another tip for new listeners is Dan often views and frames things in terms of winning and losing when it comes to subjective opinions.
There is only I don't say subjective things are true or false, but they can be won or lost.
Yeah. Yes. That's oddly poetic and philosophical. Right. All right, so we're, you know,
Sicilian Billy.
18 minutes into the podcast.
This guy's keeping score.
We've discussed very little of Picard. We have determined some Silly and some Billy.
We have to be careful that we don't run out of things to say, because this week we had to... We did a podcast on a different day.
We are recording a night early.
Yeah.
We have not watched the program as often as we normally would.
I only watched it once.
Yeah, me too. That's a first.
I didn't even take notes.
I only watched it once. I'm noteless again for the second week in a row.
I got notes.
But I got lots of thoughts in my mind bone.
My bane bone is...
Well, I got notes, but strangely enough, I have less notes than I usually have.
So
I don't think that's strange at all.
I mean, I guess it would make sense, but why would I have more notes the second time around, you know? I don't take notes on the first time. Okay, we're getting off track again.
This is for an extra.
Jesse, how about this? We've got a couple minutes before, you know, we have to go to our first break.
What? We haven't even started.
And Jesse's got the stylophone, which is another thing adding into it. Jesse, why don't you make one of your observations, and then we can discuss that briefly, and then head into break.
There's so many choices out there. You can pick any one of them. Don't get bogged down by the tragedy of options.
I mean, the way this whole episode worked was the penultimate episode, so lots of things kind of came to
fruition.
Fruition is maybe a word for some things.
Tying up some
things.
Loose ends.
We finally get to, like, Picard's finally willing to reach down into, like, those memories that are bad. But all of us, you know, it's... It's necessary that he does that, so he does it, and you know, things happen.
Could you say that the
Girardi and the BQ, you know, make peace, and they come to this funny understanding, and you get a whole new BQ Roddy,
another resolution
that's going to make this make a whole new Borg that must be that thing that we see in the first episode.
Would you say that the penultimate has its own climax, like the penultimate climax climax?
Because
there were climaxes of sorts, as you just described.
Setting everything up for that last bit, and giving us some little mystery bits.
It's a whole lot of stuff. Bits. And like, you know,
there have to be two Renées, one dead, one living.
Exactly. Yeah, that was what I... Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
They did that on purpose.
Like, all of a sudden the Borg Queen has this, like, helpful knowledge.
It's this and this.
It's like, okay, well, it's another fucking riddle.
So. I'll be interested to see how it's resolved, and I don't think it's going to be this, but I immediately thought...
Picard's all like, no way.
I immediately thought, they're like, oh, okay, so this René Picard has to survive, but wasn't his nephew called René Picard? The one who died? When they're just like, yeah, tough luck, you don't get to fix that timeline. Your brother and your nephew are dead, and they have to be dead for everything to work out properly. I don't think that's what they meant, but that's what I thought about.
If it was.
Yeah.
You didn't see his brother in any of those flashbacks.
No, they referenced him, though. They did mention he was off at boarding school. Yeah,
Rene Picard was portrayed by David Tristan Birkin in Family and by Christopher James Miller in Star Trek Generations.
And wasn't he in Family? Wasn't that the same kid who played the Picard in Rascals? So he played Rene Picard and Jean-Luc in Rascals?
I don't know.
I think that might be the same person who does that quote that you like so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. That is. Whoa. That is that dude. My number one dad.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm quite pleased by that. I know our audience is frequently, one of our most frequently requested things is to have Dan do Alf. Yep. It works best when it's organic, when it just sort of emerges organically.
Hey, Willie, my number one dad. My number one cat.
And so at some point we might do a highlight reel of all the times that Dan has done Alf, which he does very well. It's usually variations on those two lines. He just, hey, Willie, and got any cat?
Got any cat?
You want to hear a highlight reel of just Dan doing that for like an hour?
He was born in 1977. He's older than us.
Alf?
David Birkin. No, Alf. When was Alf born? I don't know. No, we may never know.
On Melmac?
That's where.
Gordon Shumway is his name.
Gordon Shumway from Melmac.
When was Gordon...
Alien life form.
Who was Shumway born in 77?
Born. When was Gordon Shumway born?
Tristan Flabbergast was born in... he's the one who played Picard in
Renee. He's older than me.
So according to the Melmacian calendar, he was born on the 28th of Nathanganger.
Is this on the Melmac wiki?
But this equivalates to...
Is this on Melmac Alpha? Is this on Melmac Alpha.com?
Alf.fandom.
Whoa.
Why didn't they call it Melmac Alpha?
Maybe that's a different company.
Who knew?
They should call it Mel. Can we start Melmac Alpha?
There might be one.
I think Dan already started.
But look, it's October 28th night. October.
Beba to beba to beba.
28th of Narthinganger is.
Wait. What is that? Is that a Melmacian?
Yes, and yes, and he's born on October 28th, 1756. So you're saying Melmac Alpha?
Yeah, like memory alpha.
Melmac. Oh, that's not a. There's Alpha Unlimited.
It's sort of a pun.
Yeah,
sort of
I know.
A Star Trek pun.
I know. It's pretty funny.
This
we
is
could
a
start
Star Trek podcast. Melmac.
Yeah, we could start that. We could start that. We should do that.
I think you're going to start.
I think some percentage of the audience will have enjoyed that.
So, I can see the gears turning.
So the reason we're talking about all this stuff is because we're afraid we'll run out of things to say.
No,
so.
You are afraid we're going to run out of things to say. We're not. And anyway, we've got Jesse on the stylophone.
I'm not convinced that we've said that much.
Jesse's got a stylophone that he can always pop in and as necessary. We can pretend we're in some sort of Atari.
Yeah, you know,
which like evokes both visions of the future and the past simultaneously, which leads to a mental schism.
It's like, look out!
It's like whenever you see, you know, in Star Wars, you see all their displays.
Star Wars, what's that?
Oh, Star Trek.
Oh,
Star Trek.
For a minute there, I thought you were saying it wrong.
I'm sorry. I don't know what. That's stupid. I'm surprised they didn't call that the Star Wars or anything. They should have called one of the Star Trek Star Wars.
Yeah, because it's such a cool name.
Well,
anyways, movies from the 70s.
War is better than Star Wars.
So sci-fi movies from the late 70s, early 80s look like Atari, which is like totally fucked up.
Yeah, we mean like Logan's Run.
Yeah, I still need to see
that. Whack, dude.
I hear it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Logan's Run is great. All right. Yes. So
we talked about absolutely nothing.
We talked a little bit.
It's got old movies.
Jesse made a very important point.
Oh, yes, he did.
Which is that this episode did tie up or resolve or essentially resolve a few different plot lines.
Even seemingly the Rios situation. He sort of said goodbye to that lady.
And the Seven situation where she had to endure, you know, kind of returning to her Borg, part Borg form.
Right.
Rafi had to have a sort of some closure, even though it was with holographic Elnor. She had some closure. So
holographic Elnor still has real Elnor's memories.
Yeah.
Even his
or at least some
memories.
Of them, which is, I don't know. Is that silly or Billy? What do you think? Silly or Billy for the hologram to have the memories.
I'm going with
the
Billy.
Dying gasp
I'm
memories.
Going with Billy.
Yeah, I think the whole idea that a holograph can the whole idea that the La Serena turns everybody who comes in there into a holograph and puts it in its databanks.
Yeah.
That's pretty silly. I mean,
it's a little creepy.
That is a little
creepy, right? There's an aspect of Billy to it, but overall, it's pretty silly because it's creepy. Yeah, it's creepy as fuck.
Like, Billy was when it was just. When it was just Rios and different versions of Rios.
Yeah, that was badass.
That was badass. But like, if it's just like, oh, well, I'll dial up a goofy Picard and a Raffi
that's a serious breach of privacy.
But
I mean, that's privacy because you don't just get what they look like. You get everything about them. So you get their, so anyone who walks in La Serena, they can find out my innermost secrets and start blackmailing me with them. Are all ships like that in the future? Or is it just La Serena?
Are you suggesting that you have secrets that would be blackmail worthy?
I mean, maybe I don't want people to know, like, what kind of crazy stuff I did when I was young or something.
You didn't do anything.
I think it's important to point out for headcanon purposes.
Someone who cared more.
I was there.
I saw all the things
you did.
You
didn't do anything
bad. This technically is not the standard universe La Serena. It is the Confederation La Serena.
Oh, so maybe they
and
all
there
have
already
that.
Were some a few minor differences with this ship because it's from the Confederation. So you could argue that they were even surprised because I think Jurati seemed a little bit surprised almost that this was happening.
It's got more cookies.
So maybe that's a feature of Confederation ships that they make holograms of you for gross sexual purposes or
no, I don't need to argue that point
because we got
there. It's more like the Terran.
It just seems so fucked up.
All right, how about
is this standard issue for most ships? Even so, it seems like only super black ops ships would still have it.
Well, and the La Serena is not even a Federation ship or a Confederation ship. I mean, it sort of is a Confederation ship in the Confederation timeline, but in the Federation timeline, I don't believe it's a. I mean, it's a Federation ship, I believe, but not. It's a Federation flagship.
It's not a Federation flagship.
It's not a Starfleet.
It's not a Starfleet ship. It is a Federation flagged
fully licensed
ship.
Yes.
So it seems unlikely that they would have it, but who knows what goes on in that crazy Confederation world?
Who knows? All right, let's take a break, and when we get back, Let's talk about Star Trek Picard. All right. We will be right back. I guess what?
What?
We're back.
No way.
We're totally back.
In DS9?
Yes.
They would have, if they had something like that on DS9, if they had the auto hologram auto holo scanner, if they had DS9, they would make a point
of
it.
Hi, my name is Auto Hologram.
Kira would be like, I love this thing. It lets me peer into everybody's mind and do awful things. You know?
I don't think Kira would be into that.
In Mirror DS.
Oh, Mirror DS. Oh, I didn't catch that. All right, yeah. You're talking about Intendant.
Yeah,
Nerys, Kira Nerys. Okay, that's a different story.
Anyways, but I said I was going to drop it, and so I'll drop it. It's fine. I'm into it.
How about we talk about one of the main thrusts of this story was they've set it up in an action framework in that the Borg Queen and her new army of dispensable. What's the term? What's the word?
Dispensable?
Dispensable? No. That doesn't sound right.
Mercenaries.
What are you talking? Yeah, are you talking about mercenaries? They're Borg people.
Expendable.
That's
like the
what
movie.
It is. Expendable.
Like the movie with
expendable,
the guys.
Expendable. Dispendable.
Like the movie.
So the Borg Queen.
Despicable, I think is what.
You're oh saying. Shit, dude.
She's got her army of people, and Soong is there. Adam Soong.
Often wrong.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, getting more and more maniacal.
Yeah. That-
So they've set that all up as an action sequence, and which I thought worked quite well. It was interesting, intense. Side comment: I did like that all the set design in this episode was on the one hand super sophisticated and modern and well done, but on the other hand, which I found totally Billy.
Totally Billy.
It was very Star Trek. It looked like a Star Trek set, like the way they organized the barrels and the, you know, it looked like a TNG set, right, but totally. Upgraded yeah. Just with for high definition.
I'm wondering how much
they made a very elaborate like set on a soundstage. Yeah.
My point is the main thrust is Picard opening up this last door to his psyche.
Yeah, because they kind of repeated stuff they talked about just two episodes prior. He was talking about how his dad says there's a thousand ways to die. He was talking about the basement. He already said that like two episodes ago. We knew already from two episodes ago that he wasn't allowed to go into the basement.
But this is resolving like that one little bit at the end, where,
right?
Like, the Romulan lady's all like, "Wait, there's something else."
Right. So it was all a build up to that point, I guess. I can't remember who he told. If he told Talon, but.
That's
now, which one of you did anybody?
I was about to call her Tamarin.
Did anybody guess that it was going to be Picard? Picard. Not only Picard's mother kills herself. Not only does she die, she kills herself.
I didn't really expect that.
And Picard is the one who walked in on her.
Right.
Right. That was pretty dark.
I was expecting something dark to happen, and I'm. It's one of those things where when you see what happened, that Picard feels guilt because he let his mother out. And she ended up killing herself. It all makes 100% sense.
Yeah, because I was talking about last episode and how I was basically saying that Picard feels really guilty, and it's like, what, for allowing your dad to lock her in the room or something? That's why you felt guilty, because you didn't let her out or something. And then, but you made the point of like, well, yeah, you know, trauma can happen in different kinds of ways, and people can experience it.
Especially
in France, we all know that.
Man, I know.
And you know. And so it was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then we kind of were along the lines of, oh, it's because he didn't let her out of the room. And then it turns out it's much more specific.
Yeah.
And it's like he did let her out of the room.
And I even thought,
and so, and
I,
so,
I don't know
and,
if I mentioned
and so there's a def- he definitely has a reason to feel guilty. He definitely has, he definitely, there's no argument.
He's definitely at fault.
He still lives there. He has to live in that house.
So
like, how buried is that in his shit?
So
no wonder he's all fucking...
Some asshole wants to gatekeep guilt, you know, so because some people like to do that, he definitely could be like, I got the key, bitch.
I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I even allowed for the possibility key. That he let her out and that resulted in her harming herself. But not, I don't know. I wasn't thinking like seeing your dead mother swinging
that
on
was,
a rope,
that's wild
which was intense.
I didn't even notice it until I rewinded. rewound it. Actually, maybe I just wasn't looking at that point. But like when she was hanging, when it just showed her back, it showed the rope hanging down like it was the hair or something like that. It was like really kind of
Rapunzel or something.
Yeah, it was kind of the whole thing was fucking it was pretty and, creepy. And dark, man.
You know, no spoilers for Moon Knight, but it happened to be in the same week that a lot of trauma in that show as well, and Marvel in general has been dealing with trauma lately. And we've seen that in this season of Picard, and we've commented on that there's been trauma for Seven, trauma for Rafi, and in season one, many of them were sort of responding to their unresolved trauma in maladaptive ways. In this season, it's more like they've got their shit together a little bit better. They've found some support and family, but they haven't healed yet, and Rafi, Seven, Rios to a lesser extent, but Jurati, Picard, they're all kind of reliving some traumas and resolving them through the
Rios's
course of
the trauma was more like in the first season.
Yeah, I think his is more now. He's
all right now.
He's just trying to sort out like, how do I hang out with this nice doctor and her pleasant son and do so without destroying the timeline?
Right.
So, Picard, Jean-Luc's mom. So she basically had a relapse. She basically had a relapse right after Daddy Picard says, like, you haven't had a relapse in a while. And then, of course, that night she has a relapse. So I don't know. Did that trigger it or what?
No, well, I don't think it triggered it. How I interpreted that was the, and that I knew in this episode when I saw that, that's when I gauged she was going to kill herself. So I did guess it during this episode. When Picard Senior, Maurice Picard, I believe is his name. We were all like, what's his name?
Maurice.
Last week. I think it's Maurice Picard. Anyway, Picard Senior, when he's commenting to his wife how she's seemed more present and they haven't had any incidents lately and how great that is, and she gives him that look.
That's she's been thinking about killing
herself. Exactly, yeah, she's going to kill herself because that's a common thing when people have suicidal tendencies.
They're like, okay,
they can calm down. They can even become happier once they've made the decision internally. They're like, oh, I'm gonna kill myself.
It's all sorted.
It relieves the pressure that they're feeling.
Still happened pretty close together from when he said it, though.
I think that's how it works, though. On all the suicide,
they're ready.
You know, on all the Reddit threads about suicide, they're always like, if you have a friend who's been depressed and all of a sudden is like, hey, how's it going? Everything's great. They're like, you call somebody else.
Yeah,
that's happening tonight.
But Maurice Picard. It's not like she said, I feel great. I feel great. My number one dad, Maurice dad. She was
my number one husband.
Maurice dad. Yes, exactly. Maurice dad asked her. That's the only thing. He asked her. He happened like, so was she planning
well,
to kill
he him? Didn't,
his name is He said to her.
It's not like he says to her every day, you have had a relapse in
I don't
a while.
I don't think he was asking her. He was commenting on the change in her behavior.
He's commenting.
It is still a TV show. They have to convey that information.
Sorry,
to
I
us.
Meant to say commenting. So I guess
you're
though
not
it's
so,
just
not so crazy.
It's today. He happened to comment on it at the same time that she was having those relaptical feelings.
I'm confused as to why that doesn't. I'm confused as to why that doesn't make perfect sense in your mind.
No,
that's precisely when you would comment it when somebody has changed their behavior, right? Like she has changed. I'm going to kill myself. I'm feeling better. I'm going to kill myself on Tuesday. Well, and then the husband is like, today has been great.
I know, but he said it's been a while. So I interpreted that to mean it's been like months or something. But you think it might have just been happened a couple of days.
That's a fair point.
Well,
that's a fair point.
It's not really worth me.
No, I'm marking it down in the notebook.
Damn it. I was hoping
Dan
that would
happen.
Dan
has made a fair point.
But Dan has made a fair point.
It's not enough to overcome. He hasn't won the point yet. He hasn't won the point yet, but he has made one check mark here.
So,
fair point.
So she was meant to have mental illness so she could play with hide and seek with Jean-Luc in the forbidden place to cause him a lifetime of trauma so he knew that he could escape soon that one time. Because Picard never went into the basement. The only reason he went into the basement is because his mom was freaking out and brought him into the basement.
Why do you think fate has anything to do with
it? And then he had trauma his whole life, and then they go back to this moment, and so now he's able to escape soon because his mom killed herself that day.
Yes, but if she hadn't killed herself, he probably wouldn't have had to be in the situation in the first place.
You think so, though?
maybe he wouldn't have been a Starfleet captain.
You sure about that?
Yeah, maybe he would have gotten a posting on Starbase 85.
Is it really, though?
Working in a...
Oh, you're talking about the butt fly effect.
Working as a short order cook in a gach.
Does Maurice Picard, is he just a planter? Is he just a grape guy? Or is he actually like a... Is he a psychologist?
No, I don't think he's a... They don't give us a lot of information.
That was just a construct of Picard's
brain. I think that was just a construct. They don't seem to give us enough information. In TNG, you get
the impression...
Well, you get the impression he's obsessed with growing wine, but it's not clear if it's like his vocation or... And he's older at that point, too, so is he... Like, I mean, we mostly interact with figments of Picard Senior. I do like the fact that they decide they want to have Picard.
They could have fig mint wine that's made of figs and mint.
It sounds delicious, actually.
Yeah,
so I'd give it a try.
Does sound all right.
Yeah,
but I like when they do pay attention to the very, very specific nuances of the lore, in that they made the dramatic and creative decision that they wanted Picard to have this trauma of his mother committing suicide, his mother having mental illness, mm-hmm. committing suicide, and Picard feeling guilty for it because he, in some small way or large way, helped facilitate her suicide. Mm-hmm. However, this goes against one very specific brief... Mm-hmm. Reference to Picard, previous reference to Picard's mom on TNG, where he sees that image of an elderly lady who's all drinking some tea, and he calls her maman or whatever.
Or wasn't that his aunt or something?
No, that was his mom.
Oh, shit.
So the problem is they knew they had to retcon that, so they added that line of Picard saying, like, you know, I even used to pretend that she was an old lady having tea and asking for a chat to explain that. And it's on the one hand, it's super overt that they're just straight up, the writers are saying, like, look, we know... We know she wasn't supposed to be dead, but it makes more sense for
that
her to be dead.
That shit sucked. We made it better.
So we're saying, on the other hand, I thought it was elegant and worked from a psychological perspective.
And now couldn't that answer everyone's question about saying, like, oh, well, it wasn't consistent with canon, like, last week or whatever, the week before? Whatever. People were complaining that things weren't consistent with the canon of Star Trek.
But that's every week.
You know, about... Well, yeah, I know, but, like... But,
back in the 80s, that's people were doing the same thing.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying, you could say... You could use this as... a bit of evidence that doesn't prove anything, but in your favor to say, well, they took this into account, so they probably took last week's into account too, and decided that it wasn't a problem with canon. We're in fact, you're wrong for thinking it's not canon.
The whole damn system is wrong.
Yeah, so you could say, you could point to that and say, like, they got
you're
this piece.
You could.
It's like you're the one who's wrong with canon.
I tend not to worry about it. I do laugh.
I really don't care.
I do find it is funny though sometimes when you'll be on Twitter or Reddit or whatever, and somebody will have some critique that all it demonstrates is that they weren't paying attention to the show. Yeah. It wouldn't be a problem if it was, you know, many people, you know, you watch the show, you miss a little thing here, you miss a line or whatever, no big deal, nobody's going to care, unless that missed line is the basis for this multi-page screed about how new Trek sucks balls, because they didn't, there's a big thing last week where they're like, I guess Picard just doesn't have a brother in this timeline, I guess they're just ignoring his brother, and then a bunch of people immediately pointed out, they're like, no, the mom mentioned that the brother's all, you know, nerdy and he's in boarding school, and they're like, wow. Wow, okay. Right. And then you see a lot of deleted.
Right. We just discussed that because I wasn't paying attention.
So, you know, if you're going to make a violent critique, please.
I wasn't violent.
Watch the episode a few times. Get the facts straight, because you're only going to make a fool of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't got to like the show, but if you're going to engage in the critique, there's going to be a little bit of give and take.
Speaking of...
Don't be a dummy.
Speaking of Maman and Picard...
Maman.
Is it... It must be boring to have to play stupid games you don't want to play all the time. Like when Picard's like, what game shall we play today, mother? You know, like, I shouldn't do that voice. That's terrible.
No, I quite enjoy that voice.
So when he's like, Maman, what do we got to do today, Maman? And she's Maman. Like, has to think of a game for them to play. Like, aren't there times you just don't want to play a game? It like really sucks. Don't you hate it when somebody wants to play a fucking game and you're like, I don't want to fucking run around and play some stupid tag or some shit.
Yeah, I think he was just accommodating his.
It's
his
called man versus
mentally
child.
Troubled mother.
No, he wanted to play the game.
Yeah,
his mom was like, "Okay," and I was just commenting on the fact as
good
like,
point.
As
good
when
point.
Like
your mom wanted to play a game.
Like it must have been difficult for my mom to like have to play a game.
Why didn't
with
they
me.
Give him like an Atari or something? Hey, Jesse, why don't you play the theme song to the Atari Picard, the Star Trek Picard Season 2 Atari video game?
Oh, I don't remember how that goes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
That's like you're the Picard. It's like Pitfall, except you're young Picard, and you're all going through the tunnels.
I was just commenting on that, the fact that what if somebody wants to play a game with you and you don't want to play, but you have to do it to entertain them? Doesn't that that's
yeah,
really
it's usually
sucks.
When you're engaging, you know, you're around a small person, a child.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what you're describing is quite relatable because a lot of people have to do that.
See, everyone should be like, yeah.
I mean, one could argue it's so relatable.
It's not worth mentioning.
This did not be the most exciting topic of conversation. What do you do?
What do you do
when you feel socially obligated to do something you'd rather not do?
Yeah, really.
What do you do in that case?
So, what was that? Oh, I see. How did we never found out all those Borg soldiers? How did they didn't kill all the Borg soldiers? Where did all the Borg soldiers go?
They beamed a bunch of them into the wall.
That's true. But
was that silly or Billy?
I've never seen anyone. There were some pretty brutal moments in this episode that I don't think I've seen in Star Trek. For one, transporting them into the wall
was fucked up.
Was fucked up.
It was sort of like in that the episode with Geordi and Ro, and that. Is that the one where... No, it was the other... God, I always get confused. Remember that one crew member lady who's, like, rematerializes halfway in the floor?
Mm. Oh, yeah, but that's not quite the same.
That's a different thing.
The other was when Seven and Raffi did that slow stab on that soldier. Mm-hmm. That's about as violent as Star Trek.
Seven's, like, just pushing slow. Down.
That's, like, that was basically what happened in Saving Private Ryan, except you didn't see the knife go into the guy. Yeah, it was a little more fucked up, but that's about as fucked up as Star Trek.
There was some headshots that were pretty bloody,
you know.
And I think a stab in the head at one point, it was pretty bloody.
There was a shot in the arm. And I was noticing
Seven got pretty beat up.
This is pretty common now. They don't use squibs or whatever for blood anymore. They were very.
Or they just use real bullets.
They just
they just shoot the actors.
I was going to say
they just pay him.
They use you can notice the CG. I felt, and I don't know if this was in my head, but I felt that for the most of the season, the CGI has been pretty good, like really good, actually, really, really convincing. I thought there was a few moments in this. What are you laughing about?
It's been pretty good. It's been really good. Really, really good.
Okay, you can just say that next time.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I was just saying,
I like you, man.
If you want to know,
you say funny stuff.
No. My point is you should feel free to say exactly what you just said without me.
I think he does. I think he demonstrated that he already feels free to do it.
Well, he was just laughing at
you. Calling him out on it may inhibit him in the future.
Well, I mean, he was just laughing at me.
Don't be inhibited, Jesse.
So you have a perfectly good reason to laugh at me. You know,
but anyway, Dan, you were talking about the CGI. Super great.
Why is he laughing at me?
What did I say?
He'll never tell me what. I'll never know unless I ask.
You'll never know. Find out on our Patreon. Secret episodes where Jesse talks about why he laughs at Dan.
And
Dan gets uncomfortable and angry about it.
Patreon.
Angry. Hey,
I found some of the...
More like Hatreon.
I found some of the CGI more noticeable in this episode. Even down to some of the Chateau House pan and scans.
There were a couple. And some
even,
of that...
Some of the house like really looked... Even the house like looked CG.
And some of
that parts.
Wasn't... Not even... It probably wasn't even CG in some cases. It was the moonlight style lighting. I think that there's a high probability that for some of those scenes, they were shooting day for night, which is where you are shooting during the day, but you put filters on the camera or post-production filters or both in order to make it look like night.
They did that shit in fucking California.
Yeah, because it's difficult.
The sun was like all over the place.
Yeah, so, and that makes the lighting, that can make the lighting look awkward and call out corners. Doors and corners.
Well,
check doors and corners.
We'll have to look into that at some
That's
point.
That's a reference to The Expanse.
Yeah. Okay.
Doors and corners.
I didn't get that reference.
Oh, both the television program.
Television. Both the television program.
The printed, let me tell you what. There's this television program page. Called The Expanse. It's a good one. The books are good too.
So,
I must read those.
Speaking of night and day. They did that thing in the movie where like they're fighting all night and then all of a sudden it's which movie? The TV show. That's what TV shows now are. That's a long movie.
I mean the streaming media.
The thing
we watched.
They do digitally encoded streaming media.
They do the thing where we're fighting all night, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's sunrise. You know, they did that in this, where that happened when...
they're all hanging out in some, like, park in the Redwoods.
They were...
It didn't look like France anymore. You know,
yeah.
It's just straight up... I mean, I know they're filming it all in L.A. anyway, but, or around that area, but it really looked like that's what a park looks like in California.
Yeah.
That was when they were in the Picard room when Soon came up, wasn't it? When it was suddenly sunrise.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah. Like, it was all dark and moony lighty. Yeah. And then I get, you know.
And I know. I mean, it's something that every TV show and movie, like, when they do that, it always comes out of nowhere. It's always like everything's dark, and then the next shot, there's like sunrise out there. They do that in a lot.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
They did that in White Men Can't Jump. If you watch that, you'll see that happened in that movie. Mm. There's other movies too where it's like all dark, and then suddenly the next shot, it's the sun's coming up. Every single one, it never looks quite natural, no matter where. I mean, were we supposed to believe that they were in the catacombs of Chateau Saint Picard for like 2 hours?
I mean, half an hour.
I know sunrise is pretty quick.
Well, okay.
So you could say half hour, maybe.
Okay. I would argue that sunrise is a subtle enough thing that it can be difficult to naturally portray in a condensed time format.
Right.
Because it is a fairly brief little window between the sun being down and the sun being up.
Liminal.
It's just a comment.
It is a liminal space.
This is not a comment on the show. It's
when
just
the deer come out.
In general,
the veil between the living and the dead
is
more narrow.
In general, it always I'm talking about
the pluricons, the leprechauns.
Not just Picard, in general, that it's always the case. But I will say that sunrise does come up rather quickly, you know. So the tentacles, her tentacles, mm-hmm. Borg tentacles.
She's growing some tentacles.
Yeah, those looked a little
janky CGI.
Little janky CGI.
Well, speaking of the people beamed into the wall, I found was a little bit janky CGI.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were gonna ask if that was silly or Billy.
I found it a little silly.
Well, did you think the idea was silly?
It's a sneak idea, and it's extra brutal.
Do you think they did that on purpose, or do you think they just?
Well, I mean, clearly, I think Seven did it on purpose. Mm-hmm.
You don't think she just transported them away and they appeared randomly?
Seven's cold-hearted.
It was maybe a little meaner than I would have expected.
She's got a thing against.
Yeah, her. I can. I'm fine with that.
She's got a thing.
It didn't bother me. The CGI was a little janky. None of that really bothered me in a sense.
Also, when BQ Roddy was turning from her red dress into the Borg outfit, when she put her Borg tentacles
on the nanobots.
Yeah, she nanoborged it, and that looked a little weird too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they run out of budget at the end of these things or something.
I just think some things are more difficult than others. The other thing that's going on there.
Sometimes they could attempt to do less. Like, they don't need the tentacle to go in like loop-de-loop circles and look all crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Sometimes simpler can be better. Most of these things, they don't particularly bother me.
Most of the season was pretty good. Really cool. I was totally convinced.
Now he's just pretty good. Before he was like, no, it was really fucking great.
Pretty good.
It was really great. Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it. I think part of the beaming the people into the wall, I thought maybe was a little bit, this is a debatable point. I thought maybe it was a little bit out of character for Seven in particular.
It's not all that Star Trek.
But yeah, it's not very Star Trek. But you could argue, you can fully justify it. I thought the CGI was a little janky, which that doesn't bother me so much, except I think if you were really going to do this, you would expect them to be like writhing a little bit and being like,
Yeah, and or some kind of like flickery, like your pattern is all flickery.
But they'd be all twitchy, or at least something.
And they didn't want to go that far.
Yeah,
and so I think it negatively impacted a little bit, because it's like, if you're gonna do the beam them into the wall,
that's like,
have it be horrifying.
That's like this guy I used to work with, who he's a really nice guy and everything, but he doesn't curse, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But he doesn't curse. But he would say kicks and giggles. I did it for kicks and giggles.
Instead of shits and giggles?
Shits and giggles. And all I could think of is, like, there's so many... You have so many...
I've heard grins and giggles.
Really? That's interesting.
I don't that either.
Maybe... Kicks. Maybe
it sounds so...
But grins and giggles grins and giggles is in some ways... more upsetting, but it also is more poetic. Kicks and giggles just doesn't kind of work.
Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong, and shits
more
and giggles.
Pricks than kicks.
Maybe shits and giggles wasn't the original, but I'm going to assume it was. And assuming that, From what we know in our day-to-day vernacular, there are plenty of other things you can say that sound much cooler without cursing. Yeah. Just, you don't have to say, pretend to say shits and giggles. Say, like, my gosh darn tootin' rootin' or something like that. It would be much cooler.
My gosh darn tootin' rootin'. So, is the blackmail thing you're worried about that you killed this guy because he kept using this phrase?
And concern it.
Hid the body someplace?
Well... If I told you, you couldn't blackmail with me, you wouldn't be able to blackmail with me if I told you about it.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, I'm not much into blackmail. I don't want to blackmail you.
So, so if they did the transporter thing, they should have gone all the way and made them look miserable. You notice there's two types of transporters. There was your normal data stream buffer data stream transporter, and then there's the smoky transporters.
That's the Gary 7.
But they've acted the same way because it wasn't just some kind of interdimensional portal. It just transported them around just like a normal transporter.
Yeah.
See, I think the implication before was that the smoky one wasn't a transporter. It was some kind of portal to some other dimension or something.
Well, it still could be.
Or a portal.
It's a different way of essentially. It can still be a portal.
It might be a portal as opposed to a molecular deconstruction.
I would have thought of it as a portal that only opens in certain spots, but I just kind of made that up in my head.
Well, I mean, technically, he did. You know, it did open up in the apartment anyway. Maybe that's a fixed spot. Anyway, we don't have enough information to determine. So I think it's time for another break.
It's not bad. It's just interesting. I thought it was interesting that now we have two in canon. Now that we can say this until the end of time, we have two different ways.
We've got the Iconian business. Don't forget the Iconian gateways.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's once again a gateway. It's less a transporter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the Gary 7 style is more like the Iconians.
The Guardian of Forever and shit.
And you got the Guardians of Forever. Guardians of Forever. Guardian of Forever. All right. So we'll take one break. No, we've taken one break. We'll take our second break.
Yeah.
And then we'll conclude our discussion of Star Trek, Picard, Season 2, Episode 9,
The penultimate.
Hide and Seek. Okay.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right. Be right back. Blah, 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 blah. We're back already. We're back.
So oh,
that was a very nice break.
Would you? Yeah, I took a big long drink of water.
Oh, I thought you were gonna make a dump joke.
I thought you were gonna say something about your feces.
Some sort of crude thing, some sort of fecal matter joke.
Okay,
fecal matter
shows what you guys think of me.
Fecal matter.
So is. It's being
so that's the sound of the digital fecal matter.
Yeah. Plop. Plop. Oh, plop. Oh, plop. Okay. Is enough of that. It's way too silly. Yes. Is not Billy.
More silly than Billy.
Too silly.
So being a Borg, that's not a speech.
Being a boy.
So being a Borg, not a boy.
You're my number one boy.
If you're a Borg, you're a species made up of other species. So you're not really a species. Being a Borg is like a condition to have.
It's a, yeah.
I'm Borgism.
Yeah.
It's a condition.
It's a state of mind.
So Starfleet is conditionist because they wouldn't allow Borg into their thing.
I thought that was a very interesting revelation.
Yeah, that was cool.
She's not even Borg anymore, but they still...
She got Borg bits in her.
She got Borg
she's
bits.
She's still Borg bits, and everybody's got a super anti-Borg
that
bias.
That is racist.
Yeah, they are. Because
but there's nothing
but
new.
But the Borg, you know, they almost...
Don't forget, it was a whole big deal for Nog to get into the Starfleet.
That's true.
Even Sisko was like, what, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, that's true.
And Worf was like straight up like, you can't have a Ferengi. And Worf, of course, was the first Klingon.
Right. Well, the thing is they let Picard back being captain after he was Borg. Seven of Nine was... Mm. Didn't they un-Borg her?
Yeah.
They used Borg as a verb twice last week. I remember
you've been un-Borg.
They were saying like...
You ever been un-Borg?
Last week, twice, like once Raffi was like... you gonna Borgify them or something? And then said something about being all Borged up or something. I don't know. But, so yes,
he's all hepped up on Borg balls.
What's the deal with Seven of Nine?
How
much Borg does she have left in her? Not much.
Well, now she's she's a little more Borg than she was in this.
At the very least, she's returned to her standard. Mm. I mean, they at least put all the standard bits and pieces back on.
Yeah, she's got the eye bits.
So
the...
Yeah. So if she had gotten the I-bits out, do you think they would have then? I think it's just because in her history, I think
then she could have joined the fucking Federation.
I think Starfleet. I think the implication was that her history was why they wouldn't allow her in, given that her history was as a Borg. But then Picard, you know, he goes, I don't know. It's not worth it.
I do think that you are dealing with. It's an interesting debate.
But you're absolutely right about Starfleet because they have a history of this kind of behavior.
And it is an interesting debate. However, the fundamentals are slightly different. It doesn't change the debate about whether or not they should have considered Seven for membership in Starfleet, given her experience on Voyager and her demonstrated heroism.
I mean, even Janeway went to bat for her.
Absolutely. And so
yeah, that was a cool mention.
So
of
it shows the depth of the prejudice that Starfleet was displaying. However, the fundamental differences is that Captain Picard was a decorated Starfleet captain captured by the Borg. Briefly turned into a Borg.
Locutus Borg.
Turned
back into full human being, be deborgified because he was only a Borg for a short enough period of time that they were able to remove all the bits and pieces. And so, yes, after a break of one episode
where
he went and wrestled
Borg.
Around with his brother, he was able to return to service. Whereas Annika was turned into a Borg, I believe, at age 6. Something like that.
It's early to be Borg.
Borg. Couldn't Borg. Remove a lot of the Borg Six. Stuff because of how long it was in her. I don't think that's justification to not let her into Starfleet by any means. However, it is a different set of facts and factors as compared to the Picard scenario. Captain Picard.
Fair enough.
All right.
Soon. He was your classic asshole smart guy leader with all the muscle. Yeah.
Silly or Billy? Him standing around with a bunch of Borg. He was somehow like controlling the Borg.
He was like, right. He was him
teasing Picard.
It was a little Billy that he was standing in the midst of all of the surrounded by soldiers all shooting in one direction. Yeah. And I'm granted they're Borg and super soldiers, so they're not going to shoot him. But he's just casually walking around.
You said Billy. Do you mean silly?
I meant Billy. I meant silly. You're right. Yeah. I meant silly.
Billy is cool.
Yeah, I forgot. Billy is totally cool. That's
Billy.
My fault.
Billy is not just cool. Billy is a complex construct that combines. Good writing, solid plot, makes sense within both the lore and physics.
And maybe a little bit of camp, but only enough to make it more awesome.
Solid, good. If it's campy, it's good campy.
Yeah. So he's just casually strolling around a battlefield, which I imagine you're not supposed to do. But so he's just kind of do that, and he gets involved. He's like the leader. He's like dressed up like them. He's like, yeah, you guys, I lead you guys. You know. So yeah, that was a little bit.
I think the idea is that only Data's cool, and like everybody else is kind of a bozo. Dr. Soong is like,
yeah, they all suck.
A flawed. Sort of genius, really, but like his ancestors seem to be shitty. Yeah. His other descendants are kind of.
But okay,
it's to varying degrees.
He took a straight heel turn on this, where he was all conflicted at first, and now he did the other classic villain thing: is when you're all conflicted about the decision. Once you make the decision to turn, you're super super dick about it. You're just like, oh, you don't understand the future we're about to create. Oh, Picard said that.
That tracks with the.
They filled his head full of shit.
I'm told we're beloved across the galaxy.
between Q and the BQ, like it, you know, his head got inflated full of nonsense.
See, so BQ, so yeah, right. But BQ, it's understandable why she's all menacing like that. But Soong is, like I said, it's like, how do you go from conflicted to embracing it wholly and being like really pompous and cocky about it and being like,
what I was going to say is I think it tracks somewhat with the whole suicide thing, which is people's behavior changing once they decide to commit suicide. I don't want to make a direct comparison, but there is some similarity in you are treading a moral knife edge. So, and once you decide, you know what, I'm going to fucking go for it. Now you kind of have to be all in. Otherwise, you feel bad.
So I can see, right, I see what you're saying, and I see what a lot of, this is a common thing they do in movies and TV as well, and I'm sure books, but I don't read those. Were they?
Hey, this guy's got no time to read.
Were they reading books?
Watching TV books. And petting cats.
Where there's all these things about the person is a good person and they're good, and then they get tempted by evil, and the evil person can't make them evil. The good person has to make the decision to turn evil. That's like the big thing. It's like once you make that choice, you
like
can't...
Darth Vader. Yeah. Oh wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Star Trek.
I guess Darth Vader kind of, yeah. That was a pretty big heel turn, though, too. But, I mean, it's all about the choice of, like...
Same old shit.
It's like people are being good, and they want to be good, and they love being good, but when they finally decide to break bad...
I want to be Will.
Suddenly, they're okay with it.
I want to be sedated.
Suddenly, they're okay with it. And that I get that makes sense. It's like you don't... What is it? Something about vampires? You got to invite them into your house or something?
Yes, you have to invite them into your house. And if you want to escape them, you spill some rice or millet.
They're like...
They have an OCD.
Oh, it's like...
About counting.
Yeah, right.
So they'll have to count all millet. Of the rice. So,
it depends on which continent.
Yes.
So I guess it's like... The
rice will work. Millet will work.
It's like the Matrix.
Couscous.
It's like... What about couscous. Polenta?
See, polenta, couscous, I'm not... I would guess, yeah, but it depends on how
who's going to sit there and count?
They might count the aggregate.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
The clumpy bits might be counted as one.
So, okay, I'll just bring an example of... Like in The Matrix, when they say, he's got to walk through the door. He's got to be the one to do it. He's got to... It's like you can't make... You can't push this on them. They have to make the decision to want it for themselves, because then they'll truly be all for it, because they made the choice.
Fuck The Matrix, man.
Well, I'm saying... I'm just saying that's one example.
It's another form of buyer's remorse where, like, to stave off buyer's remorse, you will ignore all the terrible, horrible things that's going on with the car you bought or whatever.
The point I was just trying to make is that if you're trying to turn somebody, you don't force them to turn. You make them want to turn. Right. That's all I was saying.
Want it. Yes.
And once they make the decision to want
to
turn...
You have to reprogram them.
Once they make the decision to want to turn and they do turn, that's how you keep them, because it was their choice.
Yes.
If you lie to them or force them... I mean, you can trick them, but if you force them to turn, it doesn't work. And so I guess that's what's going on here. And like you said, Patrick, in order to reconcile that with your brain, I guess you have to be full force about it. I thought it was a little over the top, though.
I prefer the term whole hog.
That's the kind of party I like.
Yes.
If they're serving a whole hog.
The whole hog party.
Barbecued under the ground.
Is a happening...
Or on a spit.
Shindig.
All right. That's once again a point that not only took longer than needed to, but it was broken up so many times that we were unable to piece together what was being said.
I think I got it.
Whole hog.
But I had to explain myself like three times.
And I think you did so eloquently.
You did it very well.
Yeah, you and you tell it so well. It was a wonderful story.
Keep saying
it. Talking about inviting vampires to the door. You're talking about couscous for some fucking reason.
Talking about vampires.
That was
counting,
right on, man.
Counting things. Yeah. Umpir.
I can hear people changing the radio station.
That's not how this works on podcasts. They're stuck.
Once you click play,
there's nothing you can do. It won't stop playing until it gets to the next podcast.
It's like a printer.
It's like Prince?
It was like a printer.
If you call your printer Prince.
Printer.
Yes, then it's like
what's this from? Printer.
Splinter.
Splinter.
That's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1.
Printer.
1990, I believe. The best of the TMNT movies. We should do that. Let's do a double movie where we do TMNT and Fried Green Tomatoes. Because they are, you know, they're similarly located in the time stream. All right. I don't know if there's any other major points. We might go into our odds and ends section where we talk about various miscellaneous bits and pieces.
Major points.
Unless there are major points that I've forgotten, which is quite possible because I'm noteless.
You're noteless.
Noteless, and I've only seen the episode the one time.
Are you embarrassed because you're noteless? So, okay, I guess, the Rios thing, we don't know what Rios is going to do. I still think he'll probably end up staying. He might end up staying behind.
Yeah,
Ed's looking more like staying behind. I know I argued last week for saying if he was going to do anything, it would be take them with him because there's about to be a world war. He knows that, and leaving them behind for that kind of future kind of... I don't think it's very nice.
But she was all like, maybe it was meant that she, you know, this is your
he could be
future.
A,
and he was like,
freedom
well,
fighter or something.
It almost looked like he was like, well, wait a minute.
I don't know if it's going to play out exactly in the way that I thought, which involved him being forced to stay back because he saves them. But I think he'll end up probably staying back. Like I was.
Yeah, it's interesting to track this week to week. It keeps going back and forth. Is he staying back? Is he going taking them to the future or neutral? Is it going to part ways? We'll find out presumably next
Cristobal.
Week.
Presumably Cristobal.
Cristobal. If only we had a crystal ball for Cristobal.
That's funny.
No, it's not.
That's funny. That's so funny.
That's so, that is so funny.
That's funny, dude. That's so funny. Dude.
It's not really. It's just sort of.
That's fucking funny, word, dude. Word dude, play. That's fucking funny.
I was like, how long is this going to go on? If I just don't say anything, you guys just keep doing this forever.
I love the term Borg Slayer.
Boy, I'm the Borg Slayer. Yeah, I like that too.
All right, so
I want to be a Borg Slayer.
Me too.
Fuck those guys.
Is it cooler to be a Borg Slayer or a Dragon Slayer?
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer is cooler than a Borg. What are you talking about, man? Come on.
This is a dumb question.
Come on, I know this is a Star Trek podcast, but come on.
I don't know. How could you say that? This is the future, not the past.
I guess the one thing we didn't really talk about too much is about this. What do we think of this resolution of the Borg Jurati, the Borg Queen Jurati storyline? I dug it in the sense that I like what Jurati was saying, and the Borg Queen was even saying, like, "Oh yeah, that kind of makes sense," or at least it's worth thinking about.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. An interesting twist on it, and I think part of why that works is that's a thought that people have had, like going back to the 80s, where it was like, while the Borg have these cool things about them, it's what sucks is the hive mind aspect, mm-hmm. and the lack of individuality and the enslavement aspect, but that there's stuff in there that's cool about them, and so they're kind of bringing that to canon fruition now,
so,
by giving them that option to try right. that route.
So now, yeah, I wasn't entirely I guess it makes sense that BQ Roddy like agreed to this sort of not giving people choice only because Jurati was in there. That's right.
Not just because Jurati was in there, but because Jurati was making the argument. She was arguing with not just logic, yeah, but evidence.
And that part I found a little weird. It's like, I don't know if the evidence is what that they're going to have a better collective if they give people the choice. Is
yeah,
that what...
no, I think that's not the key. That's the argument. The argument is that Jurati is saying that if you do things differently, it'll be better. She's making that yeah. argument.
Right.
You can do
one
better.
Of the pieces of evidence she cites to support the argument that you have no choice but to change your ways is that she's like, we both know from our joint access to the Borg history and Borg information, yeah. we know that in every timeline, somebody ends up killing you. And she's, I forget the exact line, but it was like, it could be a lone so-and-so, it could be the Federation, it could be this.
It was all those different like images of like yeah. Borg cubes yeah. exploding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was fucking wild.
It was. And
she's like, what is this?
That was so confusing.
So she's stating, she's like, look, okay. here's the fact is you know it, I know it. You can be suppressing that image or whatever, but you're saying we have a quest to be not lonely or whatever. Same thing with you, and also we both have a quest not to be dead, because the Borg Queen also makes you always try to run from that impossible thing, death. And it's like, yeah, so are you, yeah. because you people are such pieces of shit with all your business, with yeah. all your wagging your tentacles and shit taking over yeah. our brains, that people get fed up with that and they get their shit together and they fuck you up.
Yeah.
So let's try a different thing. At least you might not even be totally convinced by it, but let's give it a try and maybe it'll work out better.
You know, I kind of like
be better.
I kind of like the idea of this. Yeah, I kind of like what that the implication of that. You've got this sort of almost semi-controversial sort of group of people that I'm sure a bunch yeah. of people will be like, no, this is bad. No, this is good.
Let's make a bunch
but
of
like,
sevens.
But like, if you want to like live forever or whatever, you can, or live longer, you can choose to become a yeah. Borg, and then you have to have discussed that with your family. And you know, I like that whole idea.
You have to listen to Queens Who Wants to Live Forever it's to know if it's worth.
And they
got to watch Highlander.
And there's exactly. They got a queen.
And they have it a queen.
That's
yeah.
one. That's the other thing is we learned.
It's just an alternate way of existing.
Well, have we ever learned? Right, exactly. I think
it's just
think
a different option.
I think it's an interesting option. And
do you want to be a Borg? Do you want to be a Nop? It's not wrong.
No, I know.
It's just different.
Yeah, and so that's why you can bring up questions. Like you could have a whole TV series about a family whose child
right.
wants to become Borg for right. some reason.
Jesse, what's the theme song to that family? That sitcom of that family, Family of Borg. Oops, we're Borg.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Oops, we're Borg.
So the Borg Queen, I'm excuse my ignorance, but have we really learned much about the origin of the Borg Queen?
No.
What's
the deal with Borg Queen?
What's the deal? There's some on Voyager, but I'm not remembering the specifics because I don't think in terms of history. There's so much other than I'm cobbling together memories that suggest somebody made some comment about maybe it was the Borg Queen herself, something about like the need for a voice. Like, yes, we're a hive mind, but also we do need to coalesce into a voice and a sort of a central.
I mean, who created the Borg? We don't know.
Well, there's a long
was
look.
Was it the Borg or was it the Borg Queen? Like, it's all chicken.
There's
and
a long standing debate.
Or is it like control?
There's a long standing debate going back decades now, about whether or not, whether it was a mistake or not to introduce this idea of the Borg Queen. Mm. And I'm somebody who I...
Is it from First Contact?
Yeah, First Contact basically is the first...
Is it supposed to be Jurati Borg Queen in First Contact?
Dikirati.
No.
Because now that's, we've got a new origin story for the Borg Queen. They go off to the Delta Quadrant, yes, where they were supposedly...
No, that's not what's happening.
No, she was talking about going to the Delta Quadrant.
No. Yes, but you.
This and is, that's in Voyager. That's where they found. Weren't they from the Delta Quadrant?
I'm arguing that is not what we're intended to understand has happened. I think what we're intended to understand has happened is that they now have a ship. They are going to do this voluntary Borg thing. They're not out to go kill other Borg. I think they're out to start helping people. As the Borg Queen.
Wait, who's they?
Jurati and the Borg Queen.
The Bukurati.
No, they're not out to kill Borg. They're about to start Borg.
No, the Borg exist in this timeline. They exist. The actual normal Borg exist in the 21st century. They're Borg have been around a long time.
They're
already out there.
How long is the Borg supposed to have been around? We don't know.
Well, we know they've been around a long time. They're like the Klingons or anybody. There's no reason to think they're anything different than the Klingons.
They're different because they were created somehow.
No, we have never seen anything about the Borg creation.
No, I know, but they're not like Klingons because they're not you didn't just get born Borg. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they evolved over time.
No,
probably once the first couple Borgs networked each other and they were like, yeah, this shit rocks.
But what I was saying earlier.
It's directly in conflict
with what I was saying earlier, which is being Borg is not a species, it's a condition.
No, but it started someplace.
Yeah, so somebody probably had to have made them.
And then that spread to other species afterwards.
Yes, but I'm saying
originally started with some
species. You didn't start with like thousands of Borg. Maybe you did. I don't know. So somebody made these things and it started on a planet.
Presumably, I think it's very fair to assume it started some people on some fucking planet. Some motherfucker was like, I'm going to put some digital chips in my fucking face.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he did it to his friend. And they were like, this shit rocks.
Yeah.
And then by Friday, the entire planet was.
That's what I'm saying.
And then the planet went and said, oh, we need more shit. And they went to the next
that's
planet.
That's precisely what I was saying. And you were saying they started like the Klingons.
I don't know why you're arguing with me. Because could that have not happened a million years ago or 10,000 years ago?
I'm not arguing that part. I'm just saying it's not the same as...
A long time ago.
No, but you're not trying to connect... You haven't even let me finish the...
We're talking about
Jurati. You're saying they're going... You said that Jurati and the Borg Queen are going to become the Borg.
First of all, we'll get back. We'll get back to that point.
They expressly said they're not going
to
do that.
We'll get back to that point. But at one point you said...
We won't.
At one point, you said
that, I refuse.
At one point, you said they started just like the Klingons, and I'm like, no, there was not. They didn't evolve like the Klingons. They evolved differently.
Okay, you have a narrower definition than me. All I meant was is they in the past. These creatures formed and their culture formed.
And now we're getting to the time thing where I'm not saying definitively either way. I'm just saying I don't
BQ
even, have,
Jurati,
they, have they talked about it.
BQ Jurati.
Have they talked about the Borg being created farther
BQ
in the past?
Jurati, first of all. That's the implication. Forget about whether they talked about. They haven't talked that much about anything. They haven't specified when the Bajorans evolved or whatever their modern culture. So that's not a normal thing anyway. Barely know that about humans.
Nobody cares.
You say so.
The implication, my understanding, thank you, Jesse, is that Bukurati has the ship. Is now going to. They're going to try out Jurati's suggested lifestyle, which is to cruise around helping people out by at least partially Borgifying them and forming a new version of the Borg.
So there'll be two collectives.
Exactly. Kind of and they're going to call themselves something different.
Borg positive.
I believe somebody said the subtitle said the Legion or something like that. So they'll be called something different.
Subtitle.
And then when we encounter them in the future, that started this whole season, that's them. They're a totally different style. They have a different style ship.
Yeah, the ship looks like
that's Borg-ish, but it's more.
That's why they don't have a GameCube. They have an Xbox Borg.
Precisely.
Ship. Okay,
yeah. That's why, okay. And that's what's going to happen.
Who said Legion?
The subtitles. Somebody on Twitter or Reddit said something about
Closed captioning.
That the closed captioning. Okay. Yes, that's a more appropriate term.
I didn't
than
see
subtitles.
Closed captioning this week because I only saw it once, and so I didn't have. I usually
because
watch
you don't watch it. You don't watch with closed captioning on the first one.
Not on the first one. No, yeah,
only on the second.
Only
one.
On the second.
I usually only watch Lower Decks closed captioning because I watch it at work.
There's a lot crammed
it's
in
all
there.
Short.
Yeah, there's a lot crammed in there.
But I don't usually watch Picard.
That's tight. You get to watch it at work.
To watch it at lunch.
That's right. It's tight. Okay, so I didn't say okay, fine. That's fine. That's fine. So they're going to the Delta Quadrant to show those Borg a thing or two about how you treat people.
Yeah, I think, and it's gonna take them a while. I think it's just they're just heading in that direction. Okay. It's not like they're getting there tomorrow. Centuries. It's like 70,000 light years away.
Before we went on this tangent, we were giving our opinions on the Borg Queen. Patrick, you were in the middle of it. Were you for or against having a Borg Queen? Remember you were saying in First Contact, people were like, I'm
of a split mind. This is proper silly Billy.
Like Girardi and BQ, you're split mind.
Because I have very much enjoyed a lot of the plot lines, including First Contact, etc., that have involved the Borg Queen. And on Voyager, I think they've been able to do some cool things with the concept of the Borg Queen. That being said, I probably would fall on the side that the Borg were more of a inscrutable, terrifying menace, certainly. Mm-hmm. Whatever other sort of adjectives are necessary, maybe even better. But that factor certainly, I think, was diminished with the addition of the Borg Queen because it was the hive mind. It was the no responding, not responding to attacks. You know, that
no
sort
response.
Of stuff.
I always get no response.
Exactly. That was scary and interesting. And you can argue, I think successfully, that they sort of exhausted a lot of the ideas that you can do with that. And to continue to have them be compelling, you needed to make some adjustments to that. I don't know. I might argue that I think you probably could have done some more. And maybe, by the way, you didn't have to go back as often, maybe, you know, I think, you know, as much as I liked seeing the Borg on Voyager and on Enterprise.
Yeah, I think they drew from the Borg well a little too much.
Precisely.
It became like the main sort of antagonist of the show at some point. And it was like, going back in TNG, I'd forgotten exactly how long Borg has been around in TNG. It's been around for a long fucking time.
Long way
time.
Back,
yeah,
man.
Way back machine.
Jesse, what do you think about BQ having a Borg queen?
Well, I kind of agree that, you know, I mean, it's something that kind of changed it all up from what your original perception of what the Borg was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it's sort of an established thing. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, thing. It's like, okay, well, yeah, they go to this alternate timeline and there's this alternate Borg Queen there. And like, it's, you know, I totally accept all of that.
So, right. So now in our,
but I didn't expect any, I wasn't expecting Girardi and the Borg becoming Girardi and, you know,
right.
I wasn't.
And so now
I wasn't expecting this whole new vision of like what the Borg can do all in a positive, you know, Borg positive sort of way.
Borg positive. So now we have an original BQ and a new BQ Roddy who is presumably made up of part of the original BQ, but maybe not because it's an alternate universe, but it's, I don't know, it's presumably
but the Borg get that trans time dimensional business.
I still
business.
Don't understand what the deal is with the Borg Queen and the Borg and what it all means.
Because
we just don't have the backstory.
Yeah, I would like more backstory on that.
My
that
guess is there's probably
it's
some
very,
good...
It's just real, I'm just real probably,
that's not That's not up to... That's no. not for, doc, for Dr. Picard. That's not for...
Dr. Picard.
Star Trek Picard to talk about. But I agree, we do need more of that.
Dr. Picard.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's some stuff that can wet your whistle in the books, in the novelizations.
Oh,
certainly some of the
Voyager
novelizations.
I bet there's
probably some good stuff.
Did you ever read that one with the heart on the cover? Something about, it was like Picard and there was a heart in it.
Oh, shit. No, I don't know. I haven't read much.
First Best Destiny with Captain Kirk. Anyway, all right. Any other points, odds and ends, doodads and meemaws, and momaws?
Just a few things. One, which is, it's seeming less like Wells is going to make a comeback. It seems like the battle already happened. I thought that maybe they would.
Well, next week we're going to be dealing with the saving the mission. And maybe he can help save the space mission.
Yeah,
the
Europa mission. That'd be cool. I would hope so. Something, because you know, to be honest, if Wells came in and brought his FBI soldiers to fight the Borg soldiers, like I was originally wondering, that would have been kind of stupid.
Maybe he'll have to climb out onto the gantry. That would have been Gary cool. Seven.
That would have been weird. That would be a little silly. That would not have been.
You
Billy.
Think that would have been silly? I don't know. It's cool when the FBI is.
Except he's fired.
In.
It is. Cool. He's fired from the FBI. How can he do that?
Oh yeah, he's fired.
Oh
yeah,
shit.
That's a good
You're
point.
Right.
That's yeah. a, why. So how's he going to help with the mission? Go, because he still has FBI access. He still
useless.
Has access to the files. They haven't yanked his credentials yet, so he'll be able to help them.
He'll have to climb out onto the gantry, a la Gary Seven with Isis the cat in in that episode of TOS.
I'm gonna watch for that.
I noticed more how the Romulan lady's apartment looks. It's got that Gary Seven like console thing.
A cube thing. I think it's smaller, but there's also the Gary Seven style cube type thing.
Yeah.
So this is another one of my odds and ends. Oh. Is that speaking of Talon, like. So her super daughter, was she a watcher type supervisor as well?
You mean Laris?
Laris, yeah. Laris.
Super daughter?
Super daughter.
Like great grandmother? I don't know.
We still don't know.
That's pretty cool.
We still don't know what the deal is with that.
Super daughter.
So we don't know. Yeah, we're probably. I'm wondering if we're ever really going to find out what the true relation that is, if there's anything.
Descendant?
It seems like they just wanted to get the same people. Like you were suggesting that maybe they just wanted a familiar cast.
Maybe season three, we've already seen the previews for, not even the previews, the teasers for season 3, which has already been filmed.
It's got all those people in it.
Maybe, you know, in next week's episode, they get back, fix the timeline, all that jazz. And then the entirety of the cliffhanger
does not have
going into season 3 is that Laris wants to have Picard's baby. And Picard spends the entire season 3, like, going to his friends, his old friends, Riker and Worf.
You mean his number one dad?
And he goes and he asks him.
Is he fully
functional? He asks him advice on whether or not he should make a baby with Laris, make a robot Romulan baby.
What does this have to do with Talon?
Is like in his 90s?
Well, because Talon is Laris' super daughter.
No, Laris
is Talon's super daughter.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is like Talon is there just to give, you know, to help him and give him advice. Yeah. Oh. But then the cliffhanger is going to be that Laris wants to have Picard's robot Romulan baby. And so he has to go to Riker's house and have some pizza and stuff. And Riker will be like, go for it. And Troy will be all like, well, you should search your feelings and shit. Yeah.
You think Riker's a pineapple guy?
I sent some confusion.
You mean for the sex part?
For the pizza.
Oh, I thought you meant, you know, for swingers. Swingers like the pineapple symbol.
I'm not going to go there.
I don't like pineapple and pizza.
I'm on
pineapple for swingers, that's fine. But pineapple and pizza, meh.
I don't have an opinion either.
You can do what you want with
it. It's fine.
Pineapple.
If you want pineapple on pizza, that's fine. It's not for me.
I'm not going to eat it. That's your pizza. I'll eat a different pizza.
I'd eat it. I wouldn't care either way. I like anchovies on pizza, though. I wouldn't like anchovies and pineapple.
I like anchovies.
I'm fine with that. Anchovies. But don't put any fucking pineapple.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. Okay, but I think, Patrick, you make a strong prediction. I think it's a very strong possibility that will come true. But what does it have to do with Talon? How does that relate, Laris and Talon, how does that relate them together?
Like you said, maybe she's the
assumed or presumed or whatever she's a descendant of Talon.
Right, it's already assumed because we know that
it's been suggested.
Talon at that one, remember she had that super spell?
She's got an American accent.
Listen, please. Thank you, everyone.
I'm listening, Dan.
Both of you, myself included.
Tell me something, man.
When she cast that spell to turn her Romulan ears into human ears,
yeah.
Right?
It was a spell, wasn't it?
And remember in that episode, there was a couple episodes when she broke that spell and she was like, see, I got Romulan ears. And Picard is like, I knew you were a Romulan. That was the part that already made the connection, being like, oh, well, she must be related to Laris somehow.
I know, but if, sort you know, of, yeah. you, if we're being semantic, that's a suggestion. It's not evidence.
Well, right, the fact that they right. look exactly the fucking same
doesn't mean nothing.
It means something. It's implied something.
Oh, I'm being that's obtuse. How TV works. I'm being purposely obtuse, okay. But it is logically well correct. It is correct that we don't have yet any particular confirmation.
Well, I mean, but
they're in fact related. And, probably
and,
they.
And let's say they just straight up said at that point, "It's like yes, we're related." How would that? Why are they related? What does that serve to the plot to have?
Why is the Soong family in the pivotal moments of every portion of like modern, like he's in the 21st century, in the 22nd century, in the 23rd century, like that Soong motherfucker.
Okay, so by
up.
That logic, Soong is a doctor throughout all or through the scientist throughout all generations. So through that logic, we could say that just like Talon is a supervisor,
maybe Laris is a
maybe
supervisor.
Laris is a supervisor. Yeah, I don't maybe. Know. Maybe we'll find it out at the very end of the episode.
Okay, we got to wrap things up. So any pick a one or two last odds and ends, and then we can do the zips and the zaps and get out of here.
Oh, the last main one I wanted to say was
get out of here.
Oh, aside from Borg BQ. She hates being lonely too, just like Q.
I agree.
Everyone hates being lonely.
Everyone hates, and Q, speaking of, we'll have to figure out what his whole deal is next week. We've got had some tantalizing clues in the previous episode, nothing in this episode. Q wasn't even mentioned once, I believe. So we'll find out next week.
But actually, the last couple things I wanted to say was Dr. Soong's, when he picked up that gun, and Rios was like, that's going to explode. You know, so basically, if you pick up a gun in the battlefield and it's not yours, you may not be able to shoot it, but you can use it as a grenade. Because you can just pick
seems
it up.
Suspicious.
And it's, that dude got the hell out of
But you
got
to time it just right.
You
got
to time it just right.
You might not want to risk it.
But you'd think they'd just make it melt or something. Yeah. But that's fair. But there was actually a continuity error in this episode that I saw that you all can check out for yourself home. It's interactive right now.
You check it out.
When they're going down, when Picard and Talon are going through the catacombs, and he's like, he goes, the left goes deeper into the chateau and the right goes to the fields. Mm-hmm. You remember that part?
And then he went out a different way in the back.
They went out a different way in the back. But what you saw is when they said that, the camera was behind them and they were facing the place they were going to go.
Yeah, they were facing the camera.
And from the right of the screen comes the Borg laser sight. The laser sight that was green like the Borg was green. You notice
and
that
the right
laser
was out to the fields?
That was the fields.
But actually, that could be explained by the fact
but I'm not done.
Was that before or after Soong found the hidden door?
I'm not done, though. I'm not done.
All right. Because he didn't tell them to go find the outside entrances.
I'm not done yet.
Not done.
So you notice it came from the right of the screen. When the camera does a 180 and shows their face now, it still came from the right of the screen, which would have been, I mean, it came from their right the first time, and then when they turned around, it came from their left.
Or there's two people.
And then
from both sides.
Yeah, but only one laser was showing at a time. I mean, I guess you could argue that there were two people, but it seemed like
lasers are something that I think a lot of people think are kind of silly.
Right,
they're not so billy.
They should have made it.
I had a professor that said laser,
like LASIK. Maybe he was saying it like LASIK. Well, year was this?
Back in the day.
Was there LASIK back then?
2000.
So I would think if they wanted to imply they were surrounded, they would have shown both laser sights.
Oh no, I agree. I'm just toss it out.
And we're talking about lasers being silly. These were lasers, gun laser sights.
But they were evocative of the Borg.
Yes,
lasers.
They were. They were green for no reason.
And they're kind of silly in both scenarios because you're like, wait a second, these crack guards keep giving away their fucking position.
Yeah, right.
why is it so smoky that we can see all these lasers?
That's a good point.
That doesn't bother me. It's fun.
Anyway, so you can argue it away that they were surrounded, but I think it was a continuity error.
All right. Okay.
It was like a video game.
That's enough for this week.
It was like a bright green.
That's enough for this week because we're going to have to do a lot next week, I think, because I believe we have two episodes to do next week. We'll probably do two episodes. That's what we try to do when we have overlapping shows. Because
let's just do one episode.
Strange New World starts next week.
Mash it together,
and then it's the finale of Star Trek Picard. So we are looking forward
to
that.
The ultimate.
Seeing how that all wraps up. While you're waiting for that, while you're waiting for more, it's got Star Trek to come in the future. You can also look back at our past because we've got 128 previous episodes.
It's the way
as
the
well
future.
As some.
The
there's some bonus episodes
future.
Out there.
What are the blueprints?
Oh, scroll down the feed.
What are the blueprints?
Look at the website. Website is www.itsgotstartrek.com. Social media is at It's Got Star Trek, and we're on YouTube and Facebook and Apple Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Apple Podcasts.
We don't have any video on YouTube as of yet, but
we'll do some video stuff soon, probably. But there's all sorts of, you know, all the things, all the podcasts.
We're gonna make a movie about $5.
Tell all your friends, rate and review.
Inside baseball.
Do all the business. Play some inside baseball. But don't break your mom's vase. Don't break your mom's vase. That's, don't break your dad's vase either.
That's baseball. Don't break your dad's vase.
Because you put a frown on her face.
All right. So that's good for this week.
That's all, folks.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Yep.
Goodbye.
There you are. I could still sense you in there. Still feel you chattering about.